Welcome to the Old Time Radio Westerns. I'm your host, Andrew Rines, and this episode is brought to you by Edwards Heritage Consulting. Edwards Heritage Consulting focuses on helping you discover your heritage and roots and is passionate about family, heritage architecture, and genealogy. For more information, contact Helen by email, heritagelady@gmail.com. Again, that's heritagelady@gmail.com. Let her know you found her from OTR Westerns.
This episode is going to be Gunsmoke. Original air date is June 4th, 1961, and the title is Cow and Cribs. It's a reused strip. This one stars Annie Morrison, and I definitely want you guys to hang out to the end. We've got some listener feedback and voicemails, so listen to those, and let's get into this episode. And again, thanks for listening.
Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The story of the violence that moved west with young America. And the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful. And a little lonely.
This morning. Guess I can afford to buy you a drink.
Thanks, but I hear Doc Adams has been looking all over for me. I better go find him.
Well, he was in here a while ago talking to Kitty. And here she comes. Maybe she knows where he went.
Matt? Oh, hello, Mr. Bowers.
Hello, Kitty.
Doc had to leave, Matt. They called him up to Smith's place in an emergency, but he asked me to give him a message.
Oh?
You know Ed Thorpe and his wife?
Yeah, sure, I do.
I got a little piece of land right on the south edge of my ranch. They're not doing very good, though.
Well, they sure aren't, according to Doc. He was out there last night, and he plans to go back for him today.
To go back for him?
Yeah, they have to be brought into town, Matt. They've got spotted fever, both of them.
Gee, they got a little baby out there, too.
Well, that's why Doc says somebody's got to fetch all three of them into Dodge where they can be taken care of.
I'll find a wagon and go out after him tomorrow. He couldn't get back tonight, anyway.
You want some help, Marshal? I got a whole parcel of cowboys who ain't earning their feed.
Oh, thanks, Bowers, but trust me, I can manage.
He might need help.
Now, what do you mean?
Ed Thorpe. Sick as he may be, he'll get a gun and fight before he lets you carry him off that place. I know him.
Well, then he can stay there, but I'm going to bring his wife and that child in.
All right. You keep an eye on him. He can be a bad one.
This ain't Ed Thorpe's place.
Yeah, I know, Chester, but I want to meet these people. They must be new. Come on.
Still, how do you know they're new? You ain't been out this way in over a year.
All the more reason to meet them. Let's walk around back. I thought I saw somebody there.
Nothing but a sod hut and blow dirt. You must be living on nothing.
Doesn't look like it, Chester.
Well, you say he's butchering a calf. Now, where'd he get that?
He sure didn't raise it on those weeds this woman's trying to hoe. Hello.
What are you men doing here?
Well, I'm Marshal Dillon from Dodge. This is Chester Proudfoot.
Is there something wrong, Marshal?
No. Except your hat's going to get all bloody where you put it on this calf.
You leave it be.
Here, you'll get sunstroke without a hat.
All right. So I was trying to cover up Emmett Bauer's brand. We're starving out here, Marshal. I had to kill that calf.
You ain't going to risk my husband, are you, Marshal?
No, ma'am. Not unless Emmett Bowers complains.
Joe had to do it, Marshal. This can't go on without something to eat. Look over there where I've been hoeing. I couldn't plant enough seed for hardly anything to come up. And we can't afford no more seed. Our credits run out in Dodge.
The ground doesn't even look plowed.
Well, I've done the best I could. It ain't easy.
No, not for a woman. But we're on our way to Ed Thorpe's. I guess you know that they got spotted fever.
I was there this morning. Ed Thorpe's dead.
What?
Died in the night, I guess.
Well, you didn't tell me that, Joe.
You mean you left Mrs. Thorpe alone with that baby?
I ain't gonna chance catching no fever.
But, Joe, the baby...
My woman here is always worrying about babies. It's only because she can't have none, I guess. She's like one of them there dry gourds.
Don't, Joe. You're putting shame on me.
Chester.
Yes, sir.
Come on, let's get out of here. Miss Nadler.
Yes, Marshal.
Next time you're in Dodge, you come see me. I'll see that you get some seed.
Goodness, didn't I thought we wouldn't never make Dodge tonight.
How's the baby, Chester?
Well, it's asleep anyway. I guess I've been holding it right, huh?
Yeah, just like a mother.
Oh, no. Right.
Well, there's Doc waiting for us. Oh. Now, you sit tight a minute, Chester. We'll help you with the baby, huh?
So you hope it don't wake up.
Where's Ed Thorpe and his wife there?
Well, Ed died before we got there, Doc. Miss Thorpe's lying down and back there. We covered her up good. She's been asleep most of the way.
Mrs. Thorpe? She's still asleep. Give me a hand up.
Yeah, sure. There
you are. Mrs. Thorpe? Oh, my.
What's the matter, Doc?
She's not asleep, man.
What?
She's dead.
No.
She's died on the way in, I guess. Now we got a baby to take care of.
You know, Doc, I think she knew she was going to die.
And why?
Just before we left her place, she told me that if anything happened to her, the baby was to be put in Ma Smalley's care. And that Ma Smalley was to have complete charge over him. What she says goes.
Well, Ma's a widow, and she's had kids herself. That was a good choice.
Yeah.
But she's too old to raise him herself, man.
Yeah, we'll have to worry about that later, Doc. Right now, let's get busy.
Under there, Mr. Dillon. Stand right in front of the store.
Why wouldn't they come to the office, Chester?
Well, you know how Ma Smalley is. She don't think it's ladylike to go to any man's office. What she's doing with Ms. Nadler, she didn't say.
Well, you go on down and get the mail, Chester. I'll wait here for you.
All right, sir.
Hello, Ma.
Hello, Marshal.
How have you been, Miss Neighbor?
Pretty good, Marshal. Ain't everybody can send for the Marshal and bring him on the run?
Oh, now, Ma, you know your word's always been law with me.
Listen to him. Ain't he a terror, Mrs. Nadler?
Well, that's true, Ma.
Marshal, Mrs. Nadler wants to adopt the Thorpe baby.
Well, Miss Thorpe left the baby in your charge, Ma. It's all up to you.
I've had him over a week, Marshal. And I'm going to keep him a while longer so he'll be near Doc just in case. But Mrs. Nadler here seems like a mighty fine woman to me, and I'd let her take that baby, only I'm worried about one thing.
I told her the truth, Marshal, and she thinks maybe Joe and I can't make a go of it out there. You remember what you said when you was leaving that day?
Yes, I said to come to see me and I'd help you get some seed to plant.
Well, now that's all I need. I'll get a little corn up. I might even raise a few hogs. I'll work awful hard, Marshal. I promise I will.
She gets started. She can have the baby, Marshal.
I'll pay you back. I ain't begging. I'll pay you back every cent, Marshal.
Mrs. Nadler, you come by my office before you leave town. I'm going to go into the store here and have a talk with Mr. Jonas right now.
Oh, Marshal, I do thank you.
Come
I
on,
do
back
thank
to the house, Mrs. Nadler. You can look at him a little while longer.
Hello, Marshal.
Hello, Jonas.
What can I sell you today?
Well, I came to see you about Ms. Nadler. You know her, don't you?
Of course I do. Joe Nadler's out back in the stockroom right now.
Oh, he is?
Nadler, come in here. He's buying himself a new pair of boots, Marshal.
Well, I thought their credit had run out.
Oh, Nadler's doing better now. He started bringing meat into Delmonico's and a couple other eating places. Paid up part of his bill already. Ain't you, Nadler?
I don't know as I like you talking about my private affairs, Jonas.
No harm. It's only Marshal Dillon.
Hello, Nadler. Those are good-looking boots.
Well, they ought to be. Them's the best I stock. Them are $20 boots.
$20, huh? Then I'd buy a whole wagon load of seed, Nadler.
You telling me how to spend my money?
Does your wife know you've been doing better lately?
Family matters ain't no concern of the law.
Oh, yours are. And if it weren't for your wife, I wouldn't bother just warning you, Nadler. But because of her, I'm telling you to take those boots off and buy some seed and whatever else you need to grow corn with.
Now, look here, Marshal.
Shut up. I'm giving you a chance, Nadler. In 3 days from now, I'm going to be riding out to see what you've done with it. It's up to you whether or not you'll be riding back with me.
Today's Thursday, Mr. Dillon. Are we going to ride out to the Nadlers?
Well, we can wait another day, Chester.
You know something? I don't think you want to go at all.
Yeah, you're right. I don't.
Marshal, Chester.
Oh, Mr. Bowers.
Hello, Bowers.
I was just up with Delmonico's. Marshal had myself a feed.
Oh, good. How was it?
It was fine. Till I went out back and got a talking with the cook.
No?
Marshal, I reckon any man's got a right to complain when he goes to a restaurant and finds himself eating his own beef.
Yeah, well, I know about that, Bowers.
You do? And why ain't you done nothing about it?
Oh, because of Ms. Nadler, I guess.
Look, Marshal, I'm a rich man. I don't mind a nester slaughtering one of my calves when he's starving, but nobody is going to start selling my beef. I'll kill him. He keeps that up.
I'll handle it, Bowers.
I admire that woman of his, Marshal, but letting him get by with rustling ain't going to help her. Oh, by the way, Ma Smalley brought some pies down to the kitchen while I was there. She's waiting outside here. She wants to talk to you. She'll be right out.
Hello, Ma.
You riding out to the Nadlers, Marshal?
That's right.
Then you tell her I'm sorry. Tell her I think she's a good woman, but I just can't let that baby go into the home of a cow thief.
That'll break her heart, Ma.
Well, I got a trust put on me, Marshal.
All right. I'll tell her.
Oh, Marshall. Hello, Chester.
How are you, ma'am?
What brings you out here, Marshall?
Is your husband home, ma'am?
No, he's been gone since morning.
Miss Naylor, do you know that he's been slaughtering Emmett Bauer's beef?
Oh, so he's complained about it, about that calf.
No, it's more than the one calf, Miss Naylor. He's been selling meat around Dodge lately.
Oh, no.
It's true.
So that's what he had in the wagon. He wouldn't let me look.
I know you've had nothing to do with it, Ms. Naylor, but... And I hate to tell you this, but Moss Molly isn't going to let you have the baby.
Well, she's right, Marshall. It wouldn't be fitting.
Miss Dillon, look yonder, it's Emmett Bowers.
Yeah. I'll be back, Ms. Naylor. I'll go talk to him.
All right.
Come on, Chester.
My mother can must be riders of his.
Yeah.
I thought I might find you here, Marshal.
Something wrong, Bowers?
One of my men's been murdered, that's all.
What?
We found him out yonder, about 5 miles. He'd been left for dead. But he talked a little.
What happened?
He's gone now, Marshal. So you'll have to take our word for what he told us.
All right.
You run across Joe Naylor, slaughtering another steer.
And Naylor shot him?
That's what he said.
Anything else?
Only that Naylor got on his horse and headed for Dodge. I guess he figures he'll get caught. Might as well get drunk one more time.
You'll get caught. I promise you that.
Miss Dillon?
Finally found him. He's in there getting drunk. Bar.
Now, that's taken us long enough. Everybody in town must know I'm after him by now.
Well, he ain't been trying to hide. We just been looking in all the wrong places. See him?
Yeah, I see him.
Stop there, Marshal. Don't you come no closer.
Put that gun away, Naylor.
I saw Chester. I knew you'd be in here next.
Why, Naylor? Why would I be after you?
You don't fool me. You know all about it.
You admit killing that rider?
I knew when I shot him I couldn't get by with it. My horse's tracks were all over the place.
Oh, don't make it any worse than it is.
I told you not to come any closer.
Put your gun on the bar, Naylor.
You watch what I'm going to do with it.
No, Naylor, don't.
Why not? Hit you, didn't I? Now I'm going to kill you.
I know. You hurt bad, Miss Dillon?
Oh, he hit me in the arm, Chester. I'll be all right.
You killed him.
Yeah, do something with him, will you? I'm going over to the docks.
Yes, sir, I will.
Marshal Dillon?
What?
Oh, you've been hurt.
It's not bad, Ma.
What about Joe Needler?
He's dead.
Well, I figured he would be. I heard you was looking for him. That's why I followed you down here.
Well, my arm's bleeding some, Ma. I better get on over to Doc's.
You'll hear me out first, Marshal.
Yeah, of course, Ma. Go ahead.
You'll be the one to tell Mrs. Nadler about him, won't you?
I guess so.
Take a wagon with you, Marshal.
What?
A woman can't live out there alone. I got an extra room at my house if she'll help with the work.
Well, what about the baby?
It'll be her baby, Marshal. And tell her I won't interfere none.
Yeah, I sure will, Ma. I'll tell her all that. I'll go out the first thing in the morning.
You won't go nowhere. You stand here gabbing all night. Why, that arm's bleeding, Marshal. You ought to go get it fixed, you hear?
Yeah, you're right, Ma. But then you're pretty off on her.
In Hollywood by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. The story was specially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston. Featured in the cast were Virginia Christine, John Daner, Vic Perrin, Ann Morrison, and Harry Bartell. Harley Bear is Chester, Howard McNear is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. This is George Walsh inviting you to join us again next week when CBS Radio presents another story on Gunsmoke.
Hello, Andrew. This is John from Livonia, Michigan, and I just wanted to thank you for putting on the OTR Westerns and playing the series of Gunsmoke. And I wanted to share some of my thoughts and feelings about Gunsmoke and why I listen. I'm not old enough to have listened to Gunsmoke when it first aired, and thus I'm not old enough to have lived during the Old West. But listening to Gunsmoke transported me in time to a simpler time in my life. It really took me back to my childhood. Not that I played Cowboys and Indians when I was a child, but just the idea that Matt was always good, and the bad guys were bad, and good and evil were so clearly defined, and the friendships that he had with Doc and Kitty, and just listening to Gunsmoke took me back to a simpler time in my life, and the carefree joys of youth before the worries of mortgage payments and watching the stock market and worrying about retirement, before all these things really became something that I had to think about. So listening to Gunsmoke always brought a smile to my face, and it made me feel childlike, if only for another half hour. It just brought me back to a time in my life before the adult stresses and responsibilities, and before the successes and disappointments of life had jaded me. And so that's what I got out of listening to Gunsmoke. And I don't know if any of the other listeners can understand what I felt when I listened, or even understand what I'm trying to say now. But I just wanted to thank you again. I know that it has been a labor of love for you and not a labor of profit. Though I've subscribed in the past, I think my membership may have lapsed with OTR Western. But nonetheless, I'm sure that you were not getting rich and retiring early off of this, but you did it because you enjoyed it. So thank you, and thanks to all the other listeners for listening to my little rambling diatribe, and have a great day.
Thanks for the voicemail, John. You're absolutely right. Gunsmoke does nothing more than transport you to a time and a place that most of us have never lived. Maybe we wanted to live. Sometimes that simpler life was something to look forward to. Even back when the show originally came out in the 50s, I mean, you're transporting people only, what, 50 to less than 100 years before? And now, look how far we are from the West. You know, the West doesn't really exist anymore. So I definitely understand what you're saying. And as to getting rich, yeah, I don't get rich off of this. I don't even know if I make enough to cover the monthly server bills, but I do it for my love of OTR Westerns. So again, thanks for the voicemail, and thanks for listening all these times and for all these years, really, to Gunsmoke. So thank you very much.
Hi, my name is Michael, and I'm calling from Napa, California. I've really enjoyed the Gunsmoke podcasts. And all the Western podcasts that you've played, the Gunsmoke's scripts are so sophisticated and so good. They really have made the show very interesting and fun. And I hope you keep up something, or maybe restart Gunsmoke or whatever. But keep up the good work. I've really enjoyed it.
Thank you, Michael, for that voicemail. Really do appreciate you calling in. So, as to what we're going to do afterwards, I say we, and it's just me, but more than likely I will rebroadcast Gunsmoke. My editing abilities have changed over the many years I've been doing Gunsmoke, so the first set of quality and audio just isn't the same. Some of the other things I probably want to do, and I'll get your feedback from you guys by, you know, sending me an email, podcast@otrwesterns.com. I don't know if you guys want it, but maybe a box set, something that you can hold on to, a little memento. And I know I've done it before. It's a lot of work on my part, but if that's something you guys want to do, just let me know. And thanks again. The scripts itself are like no other. The way that they wrote and the realism that they did for this show really made it top-notch. And it makes sense why they turned it into a TV show, which I never got into. But, you know, I remember hearing that if the steps from, let's say, you know, the saloon to the jail was 140 steps, they made sure every single time that's how many steps it was. I think it was more like 40 steps. But they made sure that it was the same every time because, hey, guess what? You can't get that audio realism any other way than to actually count how many times, you know, it takes for Matt to get from one place to another. So that's something that, I mean, we see it in shows nowadays, but with playing to the ear, there's nothing really else like it. I listen to a lot of audiobooks, and I tell you, someone reading it to you is great, but someone performing it for you is a whole different feeling to it. So I know exactly what you mean. Thanks again for calling, and really appreciate hearing from you. Thanks again.
Hi, my name is Debbie, and I'm calling from California, and I like listening to the Gunsmoke podcast at night when I'm getting ready for bed, actually. It relaxes me, and the stories are pretty good. And thank you. Bye.
Thanks for the call, Debbie. You have a point to listening to these episodes at night. I remember growing up, you said you're from California, and according to your area code, it looks like possibly LA area. So something that I remember growing up with was KNX, which is a local radio station. You probably hear it a lot because they were the ones who were big pioneers of keeping these things on the radio, because even in the 90s, these were on the radio and just regular terrestrial radio. You know, it was KNX 1070. They did the drama hour every night around 9, 10 o'clock. I remember that's what I fell asleep to. Or I would be out late with my dad, or of course, now thinking about it, it's not that late. You know, 10 o'clock at night, we all stay up way past that nowadays. But as a kid, I remember staying up and listening to these in the car ride and, you know, being a little freaked out because some of the not just Westerns, but the other old-time radio shows that they do, you know, X-1, and there's a lot of series that I love because listening to those in the car ride with my dad and just kind of having it on in the background, and I loved it. So thank you for calling in. It's short and sweet, but it definitely got to the point and did bring back some good memories of what I used to do when I was a child and listening to these. Thanks again. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed this episode of OTRWesterns.com. Like and rate it in iTunes, OTRWesterns.com/iTunes. Follow us on Facebook, OTRWesterns.com/Facebook. And send me an email, podcast@OTRWesterns.com. This episode is copyright under the attribution, non-commercial, share-alike copyright. For more information, go to OTRWesterns.com/copyright. Have a great day. And again, thanks for listening.